Hello there. Today is Wednesday, October the 12th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Lori London in Washington. Coming up, Donald Trump attacks Republicans for giving up on his campaign.
On November 8th, the arrogance of Washington, D.C. will come face to face with the righteous verdict of the American voter.
Hillary Clinton says a vote for Trump will be a disaster for global warming. Millions are still in need of help following Hurricane Matthew. Also ahead, the woman at the center of a videotaped Donald Trump conversation speaks out. It's all on today's International Edition. Well, Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump is lashing out at fellow Republicans for giving up on his campaign to focus on House and Senate races and keeping control of Congress. But he's also sounding a bit grateful to not be saddled with politicians he considers to be losers, saying the shackles have been removed. Here's what he told a crowd of supporters at a rally in Indiana.
This is a movement like you've never seen before, and you will never see it again. If it doesn't happen on November 8th, it's never going to happen for our country. Believe me, it will never happen again. We are going to make history together.
Trump's campaign may have been mortally wounded by the emergence of a 2005 videotape in which he made crude comments about women, telling a TV host that he can grope women because he is a, quote, star. The White House said Tuesday President Obama found Trump's remarks repugnant. Hillary Clinton is enjoying a double-digit lead in one poll, and experts are giving her an 86% chance now of winning the election. American University history professor Alan Lichtman tells VOA he believes Donald Trump has been his own worst enemy.
This should be a year based on historical patterns, as gauged by my system, the keys to the White House, that the American people change course and elect a new party to govern. However, the Trump campaign has been such a disaster, and Trump has been such an obviously dangerous candidate that he is about to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. Instead of calming down the doubts that people have had about his candidacy, he has instead inflamed them time and time again. Rather than showing contrition for a video in which he was 59 years old, in which he bragged about committing the crime of sexual assault, he dismissed it as locker room banter. This is an insult to every woman who has suffered unwanted sexual advances or fears it. It is an insult to every decent man in America. In addition, he has demeaned Hispanics, African Americans, the disabled, Muslims. Those who keep track of these things in campaigns show that his lies are so great that it's almost impossible to keep track of them. And so Trump has defeated himself. Trump is not really a Republican. Trump is only Trump. And throughout his life, Trump has only been for Trump. He's the only candidate we've ever seen who has enriched himself at the expense of others, without any record of public service. Even his claims about giving to charity have been thoroughly debunked.
Well, Clinton spent Tuesday talking about climate change, campaigning in Miami, Florida. She called it an urgent global crisis. Joining her at the rally was former U.S. Vice President and global warming expert Al Gore.
Her opponent, based on the ideas that he has presented, would take us toward a climate catastrophe.
Gore pointed to Hurricane Matthew as an example of stronger and deadlier storms that develop because of warmer seas. Here are some of the stories we are following at voanews.com. Russia suspends nuclear disposal deals with the U.S. in the fallout over Syria. The Clinton campaign chief says the FBI is investigating his hacked emails. His attorney says Venezuela is mistreating a jailed American. And the Supreme Court will hear 9/11 detainee suit against U.S. officials. Find expanded coverage of these stories and more at voanews.com and on our VOA mobile app. This is International Edition. Well, in the aftermath of Hurricane Matthew, the situation continues to be dire in Haiti. United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon told reporters in New York that a massive response is needed.
I call on the international community to show solidarity and generosity and to work together effectively in responding to this emergency.
At least 1 million people are in need of assistance and up to 500 are feared dead.
Some towns and villages have been almost wiped off the map. Crops and food reserves have been destroyed. At least 300 schools have been damaged. And these numbers and these are growing as more affected areas are reached. Tensions are already mounting as people await help. A massive response is required.
The UN says the already fragile water and sanitation infrastructure has been severely damaged, resulting in the absence of drinking water and a very high level of infection from disease, including cholera. There are reportedly already hundreds of cases of cholera reported. Meanwhile, here in the U.S., 2 days after the storm blew out to sea, rivers are still rising as thousands more people have been ordered to evacuate. Matthew's death toll in the U.S. climbed to 34. That's more than half of them in North Carolina. Joining me from North Carolina, American Red Cross spokesman Peter Mathias. Peter, I understand that North Carolina got hit really hard.
I've got to tell you, first off, it was a huge and nasty storm, and it was kind of a trick for us because it hit North Carolina in such a way we weren't expecting. I don't think North Carolinians were expecting it either. But there is a lot of flooding. There are a number of levees that have breached. There are people who are displaced because of the flooding. There are teammates like the North Carolina National Guard who are plucking people off of roofs. There are teammates with FEMA and the North Carolina Emergency Management Agency who are out helping folks. And then today, right now, I'm in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and there is a huge feeding operation that's taking place. We, the American Red Cross, are partnering with the Southern Baptist Disaster Relief Organization. They have just finished prepping meals for the evening for 6,000 people, and we just had all our mobile feeding units, probably about 20 of them all together, just spread out into the community, heading to Red Cross shelters to make sure that people who have been displaced by the storm have a hot meal to eat tonight.
Are there a lot of people right now that are in need?
Oh, yes. There are thousands of people that are in need. Last night there were over 4,000 people who woke up in Red Cross shelters across four different states, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida. We were glad they were out of the storm, had a roof over their head. They're not able to get back to their homes just yet. A lot of them, because of the flooding, they're waiting for the water to recede before they can get back and get started on probably the toughest part of the recovery, which is going to be getting back into their homes and finding out how much damage is there and getting started working on their homes to get back to their normal life.
How long do you all plan to be down there?
Here's what's interesting about that. We were here before the storm. We work ahead of time to make sure that we have locations with supplies stored up. So we have cots and we have hygiene kits stored, and we have disaster supplies, sort of their big cleanup kits with brooms and mops and bleach, and we train volunteers. So all of this is taking place before a disaster ever starts. But now that it's happened, and we have volunteers from all across the United States who converge on a location, especially this location now, which is just one of a number of them, we're going to be here till they don't need us anymore.
And how many other states are you guys now deployed in the southern U.S. because of Matthew?
Florida and Georgia and South Carolina, North Carolina. We did a little bit in Virginia.
That's American Red Cross spokesman Peter Mathias. Thanks so much. And now the National Hurricane Center in Miami says Nicole has reformed as a Category 1 hurricane and is gaining strength as it takes aim at Bermuda. Well, the Pentagon is evaluating a military response to attempted missile attacks on U.S. naval ships in the Red Sea, and it's warning the nearby Yemen-based Houthi rebels to show aggression at their own peril. Officials say two missiles launched over a one-hour period came close to the USS Mason and the USS Ponce, but landed harmlessly in the water on Sunday. Authorities said the guided missile destroyer Mason used electronic countermeasures to foil the first attack, while the second missile targeting the amphibious assault ship Ponce failed on its own. Joining me to talk more about this, freelance journalist David Anders. David, what specifically is the Pentagon saying?
Up till now, the Pentagon has just said they're weighing options as far as what to do, and they're saying what apparently has happened is that the Houthi rebels who are in control of the capital of Yemen and quite a bit of territory fired an anti-ship missile, two anti-ship missiles at U.S. ships.
Are they saying it was intentional or accidental?
They're saying it appeared to be intentional. There were also launches around the same time of missiles into Saudi Arabia, one that the Pentagon also said appeared to target a base that is used by Saudi troops being trained by U.S. advisors.
The Pentagon on Tuesday made a pretty strong statement saying that whoever had done it did it at their own peril, which would potentially suggest that they are possibly looking at retaliation. What are you hearing?
That's the latest out of the Pentagon at this point.
What does that mean, though?
Theoretically, the U.S. is from the Houthi standpoint, the U.S. is engaged in the war already on the side of the Saudis, selling them weapons, helping them select and vet targets, refueling bombers in the air. So I'm not sure from the Houthi standpoint, other than the U.S. actually conducting airstrikes with its own planes, what an escalation of the situation would be. The country is almost entirely blockaded by the Saudis already, so it's hard to imagine sanctions or any further actions against the Houthis short of direct U.S. involvement.
So I guess we just have to, it's just sort of a wait and see to see what the next move is.
Perhaps they'll make some attempt to maybe specifically target the capabilities of the Houthis to actually launch ground-to-ship missiles. That is a capability that they appeared to only show off recently in targeting a United Arab Emirates warship off the coast. And so that's a rather striking escalation on their part as well. So I can see limited operations specifically to destroy that capability.
The U.S. military has been providing intelligence and logistics to the Saudi-led coalition warplanes, which began targeting Houthi positions inside Yemen earlier this year. Thanks so much for being with us, journalist David Anser. First Lady Michelle Obama has issued a global appeal to help girls throughout the world overcome obstacles and get education. Obama's appeal came on the International Day of the Girl, established by the United Nations General Assembly in 2011, to recognize girls' rights and the unique challenges girls face around the world. In an op-ed Tuesday on CNN, Obama called for support of Let Girls Learn, a global effort promoting education for girls who are not in school.
I hope that people around the world will be as inspired as I am to step up and to speak out on behalf of girls around the world who struggle to go to school.
First Lady recalled her inspiration for the initiative came after meeting a few years ago with Malala Yousafzai, who was shot in the head by Taliban militants for trying to attend school. Meanwhile, her husband, President Barack Obama, is talking about outer space. He says with the help of private companies, the United States will help send humans to Mars by the 2030s. He wrote about it in an article published also on CNN.com. VOA's Isha Sarai has more.
Obama said it is the ultimate ambition to one day go to Mars and stay there for an extended period of time. He cautioned it will take years to prepare for such a trip, including educating the next generation of workers who would help make the trip a reality. The president said stronger leadership of the space program will lead to new scientific advances and provide a better understanding of the human race and Earth's environment. When humans have gone to Mars to stay, Obama said the advances that got them there will make our lives better here on Earth. Isha Sarai, VOA News, Washington.
You're listening to International Edition on VOA.
Democracy in action. That's what the U.S. presidential election is all about. Who's going to be the new president of the United States come November 8th? Tune in to VOA's coverage of the 2016 presidential election. Reports, expert analysis, and more. Professional, up-to-the-minute coverage that can't be found anywhere else. Right here on VOA.
This is VOA's International Edition. Let's turn now to what's trending on social media. I'm joined by G. Abby Lee. Hi, G. What are people talking about?
Hi, Lori. So we mentioned Halloween quite briefly yesterday, but it looks like not many people are going to dress up as a clown this year. Creepy clown incidents have been on the rise around the world, and that also affected McDonald's approach to its mascot. The fast food chain is scaling back on its Ronald McDonald appearances. It's a clown character used as a primary mascot for the fast food chain. Now, many people work full-time making appearances in the costume at McDonald's around the world.
I could understand if there's this creepy clown thing happening, why they would do that. What's the reaction online like?
Well, one Twitter user showed disappointment writing, "People ruin everything." And another person joked, "This is clearly the work of a Burger King," referring to its rival store, Burger King.
Ah, that's funny. Mm-hmm. What else is trending?
Two things. Tuesday was International Day of the Girl, which started out in 2012 by the United Nations. It's meant to bring awareness to the rights of more than 1 billion girls around the globe, and the hashtag people are using is hashtag Day of the Girl. The White House wrote a tweet quoting Ambassador Susan Rice. She was quoted as saying, "I am proud to work for a boss who has declared himself a feminist." President Barack Obama himself sent out a tweet, and it reads like this. "On International Hashtag Day of the Girl, we remain committed to providing what we all want for our daughters, a future of limitless possibility."
Aww. Molly does have two daughters, mm-hmm. Sasha and Malia. What is the other story that you were talking about that's trending?
So this is also relevant to girls, but not about a girl. Confusing yet?
Yes.
It's about American cosmetic company CoverGirl's new model, except this time the model is a boy.
So, wow.
Yeah, for the first time in its history, CoverGirl chose a boy model named James Charles as its cover girl. The company tweeted, "Meet at J. Charles Beauty, makeup artist, boundary breaker, and the newest cover girl." And the hashtag they're using is hashtag CoverGirlJames. Lori, back to you.
All right. Thanks so much, G. You can follow her at G. Abby Lee. We also invite you to follow the International Edition stream at VOA_IE. Well, the woman who Donald Trump was talking about in a leaked videotape that has drawn so much condemnation for his lewd remarks about women is now speaking out, and she has a pretty good platform to do that. Nancy O'Dell is a host on Entertainment Tonight. Joining me to talk about it, Entertainment Tonight's senior news editor, Jennifer Perros. Hi, Jen. Tell us about how she decided to speak up about it.
Friday, when the tape hit at around 4 p.m. Eastern, you know, everyone here at Entertainment Tonight, it wasn't confirmed, but everyone had realized that it probably was about Nancy O'Dell. And Nancy O'Dell was at Access Hollywood at the time in 2005 when the tape came out, and she was a coworker of Billy Bush's. Of course, Billy Bush, who is now at the Today Show, Nancy O'Dell, who is now at Entertainment Tonight. This is a conversation and something that Nancy never even asked to be involved with, let alone, you know, 11 years later, it come up again. So on Saturday, Nancy did release a statement about the entire thing. And she started off Entertainment Tonight on Monday night, you know, kind of opening up the conversation and addressing it. She said, you know, the conversation has got to change because everyone deserves respect, no matter the gender or the setting. And as a mom, I have to add that our kids, especially our young girls, need to know that their hard work, their achievements, their intelligence, their heart are most important, and things will not go unnoticed. So, again, incredibly brave and inspiring of Nancy to, you know, kind of address a situation that she wasn't asked to be involved with. You know, and 11 years later, this tape is proving to cause a lot of ripples. I mean, it was a center of the debate on Sunday night between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. And now, from what we are hearing from sources, NBC could be firing Billy Bush sometime this week. Of course, Billy Bush was the host of Access Hollywood for many years. He recently left Access Hollywood to join the Today Show. He hasn't been on Monday or Tuesday morning. He wasn't on the Today Show. We're not sure if he's going to be on Wednesday morning. And this really is another issue that NBC, you know, they can't ignore this. This is not confirmed. We don't have it from sources yet, but of course my gut is saying that he probably will be let loose.
Would this pretty much destroy his career? Or do you think he could
have
a future?
Absolutely. Listen, you know, of course, Billy Bush has been the face of entertainment news on NBC Network for 20 years now. And he, you know, he was got off Access Hollywood a couple 2 months ago. He was on the Today Show, which opened him into a whole different audience. And, you know, a younger demo, too. I mean, he was a co-host with with Cameron Hall and Al Roker for the 9 a.m. hour. I definitely do think NBC is going to have to think really hard if they want women and men, stay-at-home moms with children, to be watching a guy like that at 9 a.m. in the morning who made such lewd and crass comments about women. So, yes, I definitely think we are going to see some sort of action that NBC does take with Billy Bush. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Billy.
And as far as Nancy goes, was that something she discussed with the producers there before she went ahead and decided? Was that her decision, or did they encourage it? Or?
Oh, yeah, that was absolutely Nancy's decision, and she absolutely wanted to address it. I mean, she had to, and this is a conversation, this is a topic that she didn't choose to be thrown into on Friday afternoon, but she, again, took her platform and took this time to come out. And, you know, Nancy, who is a mother of two young children, you know, she realized that she definitely wanted to address it and kind of let people know that this is a problem. You can't talk about women like that. So I do think that she paved the way for women who do experience these things in their lifetime to kind of, you know, gave them a voice and gave them opportunity and said, listen, you can speak up about it.
All right. Well, we appreciate your insights. Entertainment Tonight, Senior News Editor Jennifer Perros, thanks for being with us. Well, in the world of American music, fans of singer Bruno Mars have something to look forward to. International Edition's Sarah Williams talks about it with VOA Border Crossings host Larry London.
He's just released a brand new single, which is the title track, at least it is for now, from his upcoming third album, 24 Karat Magic. Bruno Mars, you may recall, about a year ago or so, performed the halftime show at the Super Bowl. And had a number one song with Uptown Funk, you know, which was produced by and created by Mark Ronson, but spent quite a few weeks at number one. Everybody loves the song Uptown Funk. And now he's back with an upcoming new album. It'll be his third album. And Bruno Mars is one of the most talented performers in the business. People love his style, love his vibe, love his voice. And this new album will feature a little bit of a change for Bruno Mars. He's going to go the route of the electronic dance music producer. He's working with Skrillex and a number of other folks, not doing as much with his backup band known as The Hooligan. So this time around, he's doing something different. But it's going to be Bruno Mars, just like you know him. So why don't we check out the new song, 24 Karat Magic.
Tonight!
This is interesting, Larry, because we've talked before about these electronic dance?
Yep, EDM, which is the new craze, Skrillex and Afrojack and Calvin Harris and David Guetta, and the list goes on and on. All of these DJ-type producers are creating music that is just dominating the pop scene right now.
Why is it so popular?
Well, I asked Flume that. He's an Australian electronic dance music producer who's been nominated for 11 Australian Recording Industry Association Awards. And what he said was, it's the beat, it's the vibe, it's the feel in the music. It's a lot of energy. And that's what people love, especially when they see an EDM producer live in a concert. It's that energy and the vibe that they bring to the music that they work with.
But then poor Bruno Mars band. They must feel a bit neglected.
Well, I'm sure they're at home counting their money because the first two albums did very, very well. And I would assume that they're going to go on tour with him as well when he announces his tour, probably in 2017. But right now, he's enjoying the new single. A lot of people have been waiting several years for the new single. 2014 was the big year. He won some Grammys. He won 4 Grammys in all. He's had 5 number one songs go to the top of the charts faster than any other artist. He beat his own idol, Elvis Presley. Here's a little known fact that Bruno Mars, who grew up in Hawaii, his parents own an Elvis memorabilia store in Hawaii. They still own it to this day. And there was a time when he was 4 and 5 years old, 6 years old, he was called the youngest Elvis impersonator. In fact, he played a little Elvis in the movie Leaving Las Vegas with Nicolas Cage.
I was just going to ask you, did he go to Las Vegas at that time?
Yes, and you know what? It's ironic how things go full cycle because he's just signed a deal with MGM International. He's going back to Las Vegas because he's going to be the headliner for a while as the regular house performer at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. But he's going to do other MGM properties. For example, he's performing at the end of this year in Maryland. He's doing several shows at the MGM property here in Maryland, and then it's back to Las Vegas. So he's all over the place, but his music is great, and I really am excited, because I'm a fan myself, for the new single, 24 Karat Magic.
Sounds like he's doing really well.
He's doing well. Continues to do well.
Thanks very much, Larry. That's Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings.
You've been listening to International Edition. That's going to do it for today's show, but you can find us anytime at voanews.com. Thank you for joining us. And thanks to our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Jimmy Cook. I'm Lori London in Washington. Have a great day.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack and Coca-Cola North America President Sandy Douglas recently announced that their partnership to restore and protect damaged watersheds within national forest lands achieved a milestone of 1 billion liters of water restored, and that the partnership will commit to double that outcome through 2018. The 13 restoration areas are located within U.S. national forest land, the source of drinking water for more than 60 million Americans, and they can help ensure that future generations living nearby will have access to fresh water. This milestone that Coca-Cola, USDA, and our partners have reached is just the latest example of how partnerships between the public and private sectors can reach more people, harness more innovation, and do more good than either government or businesses can achieve alone, said Vilsack. America's 193 million acres of public forests and grasslands supply the drinking water for 60 million Americans, support approximately 200,000 full and part-time jobs, and contribute over $13 billion to local communities each year. This public-private sector partnership includes community organizations and taps their collective expertise to address increasing stress on water resources during challenging budget times. Dozens of local communities and hundreds of volunteers and youth work together on water resource management education and stewardship activities. The Carson National Forest in northern New Mexico is an example of the public-private partnerships approach. Local partners work together to help restore an alpine meadow and enhance a natural wetland habitat. By slowing the flow of Placer Creek, a tributary of the Rio Grande, the local team helped to restore a biodiverse meadow habitat and replenish the groundwater that contributes to the city of Santa Fe, New Mexico's water supply. The meadow restoration project is expected to help replenish approximately 49 million liters of water per year. One of the primary purposes of the 1897 Act that established our national forests was to ensure the long-term supply of water for our country, U.S. Forest Service Chief Tom Tidwell said. More than 100 years later, the stewardship of these public lands for forest and watershed health continues to be essential in ensuring an adequate water supply and providing high-quality water for needs across the United States.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
It's 4 hours.